Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. You be seated and take your Bible and go to Luke 18. Now, nothing is going to be on the screen tonight. I gave Sharon the night off up there, okay? So, Sharon, just open your Bible and relax, okay? We are in Luke 18. Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke 18. We're in our why series, asking questions. Why this? Why? I've got, I got more questions than I can ever answer and get to in this short series. But this fourth night is why pray if God is sovereign and already knows the answer? That's a legitimate question. It's a great question. So why should we pray if God's in charge and he's going to take care of things anyway? Well, I'm going to teach for a few minutes out of Luke 18, and then we're going to have a prayer meeting. And we're going to pray about a need that's before our church with our new building that we're going to build. So, buildings, plural. But one of those is a middle school building, and in front of it is going to be a courtyard, which will be used for a lot of different meetings, and we're going to go to that place, and we're going to pray to end our service tonight. So when I finish, I'm going to ask all of you to turn quickly and walk into the foyer and follow me right outside. And I know it's a little chilly, but we're not going to stay long, and we're going to go outside, and we're going to get into groups, and we're going to pray and ask God to meet our need, okay? This means yes, this means no, all right? That's good, all right. So that's good. So why pray? Well, we're going to learn a few things, I hope, tonight out of Luke 18. So let's look together here where Jesus is speaking. Now, the context of a text is very important. I often tell you that a text without a context is a pretext. So you need to know the text of Luke 18. Now, you know when the Bible was first given, there were no chapters and there were no verses, okay? You know that. But in order to help preachers say, okay, now we're going to turn to the this part of Luke, they broke it into chapters and thoughts and paragraphs. But those breaks don't always come just at a place sometimes that's right, and we lose something. So Jesus is teaching in the 17th chapter about the kingdom of God. And he's talking about the Lord coming again. And he's talking about gathering people home, that two will be grinding, and the Lord comes, one will be taken, the other left, and two will be walking, one will be taken, the other left. And he talks about the return of the Lord. And so the kingdom is coming, and then in chapter 18 and verse 1, he's talking about the kingdom coming, and he was telling them a parable, showing them that they ought to pray and not lose heart. The Lord is coming. Two will be grinding, one will go, one will be left. The Lord's coming. Two will be a walking, one will be taken, other left. So he's talking about the teaching of the end of the world, and he says in that context, now listen, you ought to pray always. You ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Don't lose your heart in prayer. And here's the parable. And he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. Now, this is a wicked judge. He didn't fear God, didn't respect man. Now, I don't know if you've ever been before a judge or not, but that's not the kind you want. All right? I've only stood before a judge one time in my life. I had a speeding ticket for running 92 in a 55 mile an hour zone. And I was a college student, and I had to go to court to pay my fine, which was $156. And my daddy wouldn't go with me. He said, you did it, you go by yourself. And I did it, and I went. And I've shared with you before, when I stood there, I mean, it is an ominous sound when they call your name. The state of Alabama versus Ted Traylor. Now those are bad odds. I'm just telling you, that's not good. You're not going to win that many times. You know, how do you plead? I plead 92 miles an hour. And I'd slowed down a little by the time he got there. All right, so... But this judge was good, he was fair, but this judge Jesus talking about, he didn't fear God, he didn't respect me. I'm telling you, he's mean. and there was a widow. You got a wicked judge, and there was a widow in that city. And she kept coming to this judge that did not fear God or respect man, saying to him, give me legal protection from my opponent. Now, if you know anything about widows in the New Testament era, they were lower than low. They didn't get much protection. People just kind of ran over them, just didn't help them. You know, the Bible says that we're to look out for the orphan and we're to watch for the widow. Well, the culture of the first century is different than our time. Children still don't have a voice in our culture. Those orphan children, somebody has to speak for them. There are almost 300 widows at Olive Baptist Church. Last count I had was 298, and I don't know where that number is. We keep up with it. Matter of fact, there was a function our deacons had last Saturday for our widows in our church, about 300 of these ladies. Now, I know many of these ladies, and mind you, they have a voice. And they'll use it. And we love it, but they still have needs, and we have to watch for. So the widow today is in a better standing than she was in the first century, but she still has a brokenness even in our culture. But she was just the lowest of the low. So here you've got the judge, hates God, doesn't respect man, he's a wicked man, and you've got a widow, and she doesn't really have a voice, but she keeps coming to the judge, give me legal protection. Verse 4, Jesus telling his parable. For while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, well, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I'll give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. That's a great Greek construct when you go look at that. That's one Greek word, wear me out. And it's found a few other places in the New Testament where people are just persistent. You have anybody in your life that wears you out? You can't get away from them. Every time you turn around, they're just there. You know who I'm talking about? Okay, don't call any names. But this lady is persistent. She is just wearing him out. She's coming, and the judge decides, I'm going to take care of her just to get her out of my hair. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, there's the context. He's just been talking in chapter 17. Two will be grinding, one will be taking the other left. They'll be walking, one will be taking the other left. Now, Jesus is saying, when the end comes, will God find faith on the earth? Now, he is not saying that God's like a judge and we come and the more we scream at him, the more he does. Jesus is telling a parable. He says there's this godless judge. He doesn't love God or respect man. And there's this woman that's the lowest of the low. And she badgers him until she wears him out. And he says, okay, to get rid of her, I'll help her. And he's using that as a backdrop to say, now, if an unrighteous judge will do that to help that woman, will God not hear his people who cry out to him day and night? And he will not delay long over them. If an unrighteous judge will do it, how much more will God hear if we will cry out to him? That's what he teaches in this text. So, well, Pastor, if God already knows, why do we cry out? Why do we have to do that? Well, prayer is not so much for God's good as it is for your good. It's what John Calvin said about prayer. Prayer's not so much about God's good as it is about our good. Prayer is not so much about changing God as it is about changing us. And it leads us to a place where we've never been before when we are crying out and God hears us and he doesn't delay justice. Matter of fact, he does that's right in every case. And he does it right in his own time. Now I want to say a few things about this. Number one, God answers prayer. He does answer. Let me just give you four illustrations out of scripture. You all will jot these down, think about them. In Exodus 2:24, the people of God were in Egypt and they were groaning. In Exodus 2:24, the Bible tells us that God heard the groaning of his people. Collectively, they were groaning in Exodus 2:24, and God answered the prayer when he heard them groan. God needs to hear the groaning of Olive Baptist Church. He needs to hear us groan and say, oh God, we need you. There is a corporate prayer. Secondly, in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, you read through verse 20, you find the lady named Hannah. She can't have children. She's praying for not a child, she's praying for a son. She said, Lord, will you not give us a son? And you know that God answered that prayer. Not everybody that prays for children get children. There are marvelous people in our own church that Mother's Day is a hard day for them because they've never had kids. Something has happened. They couldn't have children. Not every family has children. But most families I meet want children. And they pray for children. We have several children in this church that because on Mother's Day we have that special prayer time for those that want to come that have never had children and want to have children. We lay hands on them, pray for them, and we pray God would give children. Carrie in our own music ministry that plays the piano is one of those few years ago. We laid hands on her and prayed for her. God opened the womb, gave children. I remember she came back just the next Mother's Day or two. She said, Pastor, amen, it's happened and we're going to have children. Sometimes God answers in that way. Other times he does not. But he answered Hannah's prayer when she cried out, God, give us a son. The third example is in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 16. Hezekiah is praying that God would rescue Israel from Sennacherib, from the wicked king. And Hezekiah begins to pray in 2 Kings 19 verse 16, oh God, deliver your people. And God brings deliverance when they prayed. And the fourth one is in Acts 12 and verse 5. Peter's in jail. And the church is making constant intercession. That's an interesting context because God opened the door and let Peter out. And the church was praying. And he came and knocked on the door. And they said, well, go away. We're having a prayer meeting for Peter to get out of jail. And he's there saying, hey, it's me. I'm out. Well, you know, not yet. We got to pray. And they didn't realize their prayers had been answered. Let me encourage you. If I get in jail, would you guys pray for me to get out? I heard you laugh. I didn't hear you say amen. Hey, we've got folks that are incarcerated today that we need to pray God to release them. Because God's done a work in their heart and they'd come out if it's in God's mind. Well, Peter was in jail for the gospel and the church had shut the doors of the church house and started praying. They locked themselves together and they began to pray. Well, we pray about a lot of things and in a moment I want to give you, that's the first thing, God answers. And so you see those illustrations. But I want to give you three more things to think about with prayer. But before we do, I'd like you to turn to your neighbor, and I'd like you to tell them the last thing that you remember God answered for you in prayer. Just help yourself. That's not rhetorical. I want you to testify to your neighbor. When's the last thing God did in answering prayer for you? All right, did you hear anything good or did you just make up stuff? All right, do you expect God to answer? I don't know what you're facing tomorrow, but you ought to put it before Him. I'm preaching tomorrow night at First Baptist Church. John's going with me, taking 12 of our singers. We're praying for the anointing of God to be on us tomorrow night. We're praying for that, asking God to move among us. John, the Sunday you were gone here a few weeks ago, Terry Williams sat right here. And he prayed with our choir in the back. And at the end of the service, he was just weeping at the end of the second service. As I was preaching that day, I just in the second service, I just sensed the Spirit of God speak to me, and I gave the invitation before the sermon. If you were here that day, and I just walked down and said, now before we have the special music, and people came, got saved, joined, it was, and Terry, after the service, he said, you know, Pastor, I pray every time I'm in a church, God do something we've not planned, and man, did He do it today. And he was just moved and weeping and rejoicing. He had been praying that, but it's almost like it was perfunctory, just rote, and he had been saying those things, but God actually did it, and he was rejoicing that God had answered prayer that day. One thing I did, just obedience to what I sensed God was doing, and it was time. It was one of the songs we were doing that just moved me to say, now's the time for the invitation. When you pray, God will answer. I challenge you to pray. Number two, not only does God answer prayer, but secondly, prayer builds our personal relationship with God. When you pray, it builds your relationship with God. If you're married, does it help you to talk to your spouse? Or does your relationship just go best when you just say, well, we're not going to talk this month? It builds as you say, well, you know, it might be better if we didn't talk. Well, no, I'm just saying, even if it's confrontational conversation, you'll never get to the good place until you converse. Prayer will build your personal relationship with God. Let me just remind you how I pray. I have a nice soft chair and I sit in it. I don't do it every day because I miss like some of you, but most every day of my life, I begin my day in that chair with an open Bible. I just finished Colossians this morning. I'll go into the next book and I'm just reading through portions of scripture and I read that. And Sunday morning, I read my text, as I did this morning in Isaiah 41 several times. And then I have seven things I pray about, one each day of the week. And I've given this before. Maybe it'll help you if you don't have a plan. This is the way I do it. And I keep a journal, open notebook, and a pen, and I just jot phrases down. On Sunday morning, I pray for John almost every Sunday now. I just write his name down. And I pray, Lord, bless Third John today. We have three Johns on our staff, and so I just say, Lord, unless you don't know which one it is, it's the guy doing the music. It's the last one that came. That's Third John in our service. And I just jot that down, put a little three out there. And it's my way of remembering him. And I pray for Angie and the kids and just ask God's blessing. Well, I start on Sunday. And on Sunday, I pray for saints. That's what I do. I pray for you. I begin with John, myself. Usually, I'll look at the worship guide because I've got a copy already. And whoever's going to be solo, like Caitlin this morning, God help Caitlin, help her, Lord. Not only to have anointing, give her good voice. I pray she'll feel well. I pray for her children, that they would just be easy to deal with this morning. And she'd be on her best today and pray for her. So on Sunday, I pray for saints. And this morning, we were having our small groups. And some people were standing up. My son-in-law, Brad, was doing three of those meetings this morning, 8, 9, 30, 11. I prayed for the power of God to be on Brad. He'd be persistent and be out front and ready to go. And Joe Murphy was going to share. And David Hoyt was in the group with me. And Jeremy, who's up here playing, I had to pray a while ago. And several of those guys just began to jot their names down. So I pray for saints on Sunday. Monday, that's tomorrow. I take the first letter of the word. Tomorrow's M. Monday, I pray for missionaries. So tomorrow, I'm praying for the President of the Southern Baptist Convention, President of the International National Mission Board, president of the North American Mission Board. I'm praying for the new executive director of the state of Florida, praying for our three church planters that I know about. I pray for our folks in Kazakhstan, Romania. That's my day of praying for missions and other things. There are people that I'm trying to win to Christ where I'm going to be visiting. I'm praying for local missions that we're about. Pray for the Stan and the folks at Ministry Village at Olive. So I pray for missions on Monday. That's the way I do it. On Tuesday, I pray for my personal tasks. Task that I have coming in front of me. Whatever's in front of my week, I'm just jotting down kind of my calendar, and I'm praying, God, help me with that. Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm interviewing a lot of church members about the coming building program. We're doing one-on-one. I'll be praying about that. I'll be preaching at the end of this week in West Virginia on Thursday. I preach there twice, fly up there early on Thursday, preach, come back early Friday morning. And so, Lord, I'm praying for West Virginia State Evangelism Conference and where I'm preaching and being there. I'm just putting my personal tasks that are there in front of me, other things at the church and my personal life. Wednesday, I pray for workers. That's the staff here. And so I just began to enumerate our staff here at Olive. And I start with my administrative assistant and pray for Beth, praying for executive staff, other staffers, praying we're looking for a new preschool leader. So I pray God send us that particular person. And just, Lord, who is it I need to pray for on our staff team today? That's the workers that I work with, my team around me. And just enumerate them, whoever they may be. Glenn Best, who's new on our staff that does all of our facilities. I'll write Glenn's name down sometimes, different ones that I just pray for. Dan Beard, who's our administrator. He's gone this weekend because one of his daughters had a little surgery done. He's in Nashville with her. I'll pray for Jessica and pray for their family, for Tracy, and just for workers. Thursday, then I move to my... Tuesday is professional task. I said it wrong, but then on Thursday I come to my personal tasks. These are things that I need to do in my life, my wife, my kids, just things I need to get done in my own personal life, and I enumerate those. Friday is the letter F. I pray for family. That's the day I list all of my family, my mom, my in-laws, all of those folks that are there, my children, grandchildren, write those names down. There and just pray through them, ask the favor of God. And then on Saturday, on Sunday I pray for saints. On Sunday, Saturday I pray for sinners. God, here are the lost people. I'm just praying for these that need, and sometimes people that say they're saved, but they need to be broken, and just, that's just the way I do it. You need a way. Do you have a way you do it? It keeps me on task. What that does, it builds my personal relationship with the Father. There are times I'm just laying those needs over on him. And some of your names go in there. People, I cannot tell you the number of people who walk up and say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Pray for me. Pray for me. And I cannot remember all of them. Sometimes I just write down, Lord, forgive me, but help me to pray. Lord, I know that lady said that there was this need, and I can't remember her name. But that's why many times when you ask me, I just try to stop right then and just pray for you and with you right then. But many of those get laid on my heart, and I write those down in my book. It just develops your personal relationship with God because you're crying out unto him. So prayer, God answers. Number two, it builds personal relationships. Thirdly, prayer will keep you from drifting. It'll keep you from drifting. It develops your relationship, and therefore you'll stay close to the Lord. It's hard for me to go sit down in that chair and open that book and begin to write out my list to pray about if I got sin in my life. And I'm drifting. At times God won't let me deal with that. He kind of brings that sin. Now listen, there's some stuff here you got to deal with, big boy. This particular sin or attitude or stinking thinking. Actions you've taken weren't right. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, God's faithful and just forgive your sin, cleanse you. Amen. Yeah, it'll keep you from drifting. You ever find yourself drifting? Well, here's a good way to drift. You just wanna move away from the Lord? Yeah, I'm gonna show you how to do it. You just wanna drift away from God? Quit praying. Don't have a quiet time in the morning. Just get up and go about, just go straight to Facebook. Just go straight to the computer and let the world set you, go straight to your email. There's something that'll bless you. Friend, if you get up in the morning and turn on either television or your screen. We call these young people now screenagers. They're not teenagers, they're screenagers because they always got a screen in front of them. And they got, if you go straight to your phone for your text or your email or you're looking at what you, I'm telling you, it will set your agenda for you and you'll just drift. Because half that email will make you so mad, you want to slap your own mother. People saying stuff. You go on Facebook, and you get all this stuff, and don't start that. But if you want to drift, just go right there, and it'll do it. It'll just cause you to drift away. But if you want to stay moored to the Lord, you begin your day in prayer. Now, I begin my day sitting in that chair writing that book, but I'm going to tell you, posture helps prayer. And it'll help you if you'll do this right here. It'll help you to begin your day just to start on your knees. It's not a magic position, but I'm telling you, posture is good. And to kneel will help you to pray. It'll help you remember who's God and who's not. Amen? And so to crawl out of that big fluffy chair I sit in and then just kneel right there and say, Lord, I'm yours. I just come to bow before you again today as I start my day. Lord, I got to go down there at staff meeting on Tuesday and deal with that bunch of cranky people. Help me have a good attitude and I walk in there. Put a smile on my face. Help me, Lord, that one's going to walk in there. And I got to love them up. Amen. God, help me. I can't do it. And it keeps you from drifting. It'll keep you tied to the Father. God answers. Prayer builds your personal relationship with God. It keeps you from. And number four, prayer will make you more usable by the Father. It's in the inner man. God deals with us. And you need to cry out unto him. The book of Acts was born, tells us of the church that was born in prayer. And I just want to share two or three verses with you about the birth of the church in prayer. Acts, there's all Acts 1, 12 through 14. You find that as they were near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey, when they'd entered the city, they went to the, where'd they go? Upper room, where they were staying. That is Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. That's how they started the book of Acts. They were all together in prayer. Then in chapter 2 and verse 42, you find that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, which is the hour of prayer. And in chapter 6 and verse number 4, when you find this early church, the Bible says, but we all devoted ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer will lead you. Number 5, last thing, prayer will lead you to the Spirit-filled life. Friend, you'll not walk in the power of the Spirit without a prayer life. Without a prayer life. And it's in this inner man where God deals with us and gives us the strength for what we need to do. Notice that I did not say in any of those 5 points that prayer is getting what you want. It's not about changing the mind of God. It's about changing our mind. It's about bending ourselves to God so that His will can be made known unto us. Prayer. Why pray if God already knows? Well, we pray because He does, in His sovereignty at time, answer prayer. It builds our relationship with Him. It keeps us from drifting from Him. It makes us more usable. and it teaches us about the Spirit-filled life. Now, I know this. I can talk for a few minutes here on prayer, and there'll be a heaviness that'll fall because we're not as good at it as we ought to be. Amen. And if you got time for a thousand other things in your life, you ought to make time to pray. Yeah. Amen. If you got time on Saturday to watch 3 football games at 11, 2, 30, and 6, not that I know when they start, but that's... man, if you got time for that, you got time to pray. Amen? Isn't that right, Brother Fred? Yes, sir. Now, I don't mean praying during the game you want your team to win. Because I'm telling you, God doesn't hear that. He don't care about that. How could yesterday Ole Miss and Auburn play and two guys that are great Spirit-filled believers, Gus Malzahn and Hugh Freeze? I mean, here they are. I mean, they are best of friends and they're Christian brothers and they're going against each other last night, and a broken ankle is the difference in the game. You see, what I'm telling you, that's a bunch of frivolous stuff. That's great high-dollar entertainment. That's what that is. Okay, enjoy it, have fun, and then let it go. But the real issues of life will be that old boy with that broken ankle. And are you going to see him healed, and are you going to see him live for Christ? There's just some things larger than we are, and we need to spend more time with the Father. Now, as a church, we need to come together collectively and ask the Lord to do something. And one of the things in front of us is our building program and what we should do in this capital campaign. So here's how we're going to end this service tonight. Now, is anybody here that came and you were planning to join our church tonight? Anybody here that wanted to join? All right, right there. Anybody else that came want to join this church tonight? Okay, I'd like you, when we all stand up, see this handsome, devilish man right down here. Fred, that's you. Stand up. Yeah, I'd like you just to walk right down here and talk to Brother Fred, okay? And he'll take good care of you. And if you're here, was it somebody else? All right, good. Yes, amen. If y'all will walk down there and talk to Brother Fred, he'll take good care of you. Can you handle it, Fred? I know you can. This guy right here, he used to be a JAG in the Navy. He's a great guy. He's good. He just take care. He can multitask. Anybody else? Anybody else came? Anybody just want to know the Lord tonight? Need to talk to somebody about knowing Christ? Okay, if you change your mind during this, just don't go with me, but go down there and see Fred, all right? That's good. Brother Huey, I want you to come down here and help Fred, all right? That's good. Amen. Y'all need to pray for Huey. Matter of fact, while Huey's coming, we're going to pause and we're going to pray for him. Huey's going to have surgery. Is that this week or next? November 12th. He's having his shoulder fixed. He cannot raise one of his arms, all right? He's just a half Pentecostal. He just can't do nothing, all right? So, but he's having to have that thing fixed, and we're going to pray for you out here in the garden, all right? That's what I want you to do. Miss Kim, you going to go over and help him? Is that you? You going to help too? Now, if anybody else wants to come and join the church and be a part of the family, won't you? But now, right now, I want everybody to stand up, but don't leave, because I want you to follow me. We're going to go out here, and you'll have to listen carefully because this microphone's not going to work out there, all right? So follow me. Let's go. Let's go. We're not going to be long. Here we go.